Ladies and gentlemen, it is now my pleasure to introduce the best of the best. Best in show.
Welcome!
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to a new incarnation of some old friends. This is Best in Show, exclusively on Megaforce Radio, for now. But we'll worry about that after the fact. It's a funny thing. My name is Chris. Like I said, new incarnation, old friends. You may remember me from some places. And I got my buddy with me. I don't know if you ever met him. He used to be an intern on an old show that we used to work on. His name is Keith.
Hi, everybody. My name's Keith.
It's a good time. This is Best in Show. This is the new incarnation. Like I said, it's odd because we're kind of doing something here. It's almost like it feels like it's about a year ago, and
very close.
And some guy named 100K who used to work the show with an old show with me. We were sitting together at my house trying to put something together, some sort of a demo. Type thing, and it's almost like we're back in that same situation again. It's like,
can I just say something?
Yeah, sure.
I'm 100K. I don't know who I'm fooling.
<laughs> You know? I'm very confused right
that,
now.
That was the most uncomfortable minute of my life when I wasn't 100K on the radio.
Well, see, it's like I said, it feels kind of like we're back to where we were a year ago. We were doing another show. At one point, we did another internet radio show on another station. At that point, it was Megaforce Radio, too, as well. We were starting ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we were going to do this, we did like this demo type thing that we're doing now. Oh, thanks. The guy formerly known as Keith just wrote on a piece of paper 100K and held it up to me so I'd remember what his name was. But we did this thing, like we did like this whole demo thing. And it feels to me like, I mean, we've done a good 6-7 months of some high quality, high profile shows for a little bit, and it feels kind of like we went back, not necessarily in a bad way, but we're starting over again. I kind of feel, you know what I kind of feel like? I kind of feel like Emmitt Smith signing with the Dallas Cowboys for one day to retire. And I mean, obviously,
did he do that?
He sure did.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
He retired as a Dallas Cowboy. He didn't retire as an Arizona Cardinal.
Well, the thing is, I was thinking, in terms of sports also, mm-hmm. believe it or not. But I was actually thinking that it seems like this is our spring training every year.
And strangely, it falls in the middle of February, so it's not really spring. But yes, it is spring training. Well, I mean, it's almost like pitchers and catchers. We're here.
It's true.
Do you pitch or catch?
I'm 100K.
Nice. But yeah, so we're here. We're back for a little bit, and we're gonna see. Not for a little bit. We're back for the long haul because this is probably what I have to do for the rest of my life before I totally lose my mind.
Suicide. Either way.
Well, I would do that on the air though. It would be a big radio stunt.
So that's actually part of it.
That'd be a promo. Watch Chris die.
Hype for your new show.
Oh, it's gonna be awesome. But. Yeah, it's crazy because I just brought up. As we said, it is the middle of February, February 19th for us here on Megaforce Radio for the first time in, like I said, close to a year. We were supposed to do a show last week. We were supposed to do our debut, whatever demo type thing last week, and we didn't. But I had a lot. There was a big blizzard here in New York, and 100K was ill.
Yes, I was very ill.
So we never did. We never did anything last week like we were supposed to. Sorry, I hear my kid crying in the other room, so I had to stop for a second.
You bring her to the studio with you?
Yeah, you know, I get some nerve doing that. And one of the things I wanted to talk about last week would have been the Super Bowl and such, which, I mean, we're a little bit far removed from it right now, so I'm not going to get too crazy talking about the Super Bowl, but I want to address...
The Steelers are still the champions, so I guess you're still current.
For now.
That bothered me to say that. I don't know why.
What?
I don't have anything against the Steelers in particular. It just bothered me that they are the champions. I don't know why.
You love the curtain. Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I have no problem. I shouldn't say I have no problem. I don't particularly care for the Steelers. I particularly have issues with Bill Cowher. I think he's the meanest coach in the world. He's very Steve Spurrier college style. Guy who's like up by 10 points and decides to go for it on fourth down from, you know, his own 30 for no apparent reason. Like, he's a jerk with stuff like that. I don't particularly like him, and I hate his mustache. But
didn't you see him hugging his family? That didn't make you like him anymore?
That's right. He's humanized now. But no, regardless of any of that, the one thing, the big thing I took from the Super Bowl that I love more than anything else, Jerome Bettis. At home. I mean, like, obviously, this is a story that everyone talks about. Oh, in his hometown, and he's retiring. But honestly, when you're standing on the field with the Lombardi Trophy, and you just retire on the spot, pretty badass. Pretty badass. It's about as cool a retirement as you can come up with. And I was trying to think, like, you know, maybe this is something we could talk about on the show, like, oh, great retirements, whatever. There really aren't too many. Not that I could think of anyway. And I don't necessarily even mean sports. It could be anything in the world. Like, that's like the most badass. Just like, you know what, you're at the top of your game. And like, when I brought this up to people.
Is that like the Sex Pistols breaking up on stage?
Very similar. Very similar. Exactly. Like I said.
Or would that be more like if he quit in the middle of his last game?
Well, I mean, for a punk rock band, a band of the punk variety, I would think that that breaking up on stage is essentially like a formal retirement because it's punk. So punky. But it's got a punky sort of feel to it. Now I'm going to do quotes from Sid and Nancy for myself because I'll be the only person that remembers that movie and gets it. But I got a job, I want a job, I want a real job, want a job, I want a job that pays. Sorry. No idea what I'm talking about at all. Did you ever see the movie Sid and Nancy?
I saw it a long time ago, and anytime somebody brings something up from it, I never remember. The only thing I ever remember is the boat ride. Where they rode along the Queen's boat, mm-hmm. playing, which I didn't even know about until I saw that movie.
Yeah, it's not really that good of a movie.
But great retirements.
Sure. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And like, so I guess the immediate one that everyone thinks of when I say it is like, oh, retiring at the top of his game, Jerome Bettis right on the field. They make reference to the John Elway. you know,
is he like the Pink Floyd?
Yes, exactly. No, that he, you know, I mean, at the top of his game, he won the championship twice. But to me, that wasn't like a dramatic retirement because you knew it was coming. He did it like a week after the Super Bowl. He didn't do it like on the field at that moment. And just, to me,
didn't Jerome Bettis say he was retiring for a while? Isn't that what started the whole thing about Jeremy Stephens saying he's too bad he can't take the trophy with him?
He said that he was going to retire after the game. It's just crazy, though, to officially make the retirement announcement on the field.
That's true, because I think Elway held a press conference after to end all doubt that he might come back.
His big, fat, sweaty body was still sweaty at the point that he was retiring. You know, and that's awesome. I like that. In the same note, the same weekend, the night before, I don't know if you're a fan at all of Ultimate Fighting at all. I won't go too crazy with it. There's this guy named Randy Couture, the natural Randy Couture, Captain America. And he was basically like the big guy over the past, you know.
Because he had so many names.
Yes, because it was the history of his nicknames that did it. No, but he was like... I mean, he was the heavyweight champion. He was the light heavyweight champion. He was always brought in as an alternate for certain people, like when the big name couldn't make a fight, and he would come in like, oh, I guess we'll make him fight the champion, and he'll, you know, it'll just be a good match. And every time he won the title, like he, you know, I think he's lost only a couple of fights up until a few weeks ago. And one of them was against a dude who was on steroids at the time. It's pretty hilarious. The babyface assassin. I can't remember what his name was. But
that wasn't it?
No, that wasn't his nickname. That was someone else's nickname. But I can't remember the guy's first name. You would think his babyface was on his birth certificate. And assassin was his last name, obviously. But so Randy Couture, he beat the light heavyweight champion, Chuck Liddell. Then he got beat by him by a lucky knockout punch. A lucky knockout punch, the craziest thing in the world. But it was just a punch that caught him. He got knocked out. So then this was the big rematch the day before the Super Bowl. And he got caught by a lucky knockout punch again. I guess it's not lucky when it happens more than once. But after it happened, they're interviewing him in the ring. And literally minutes after the fight, he takes his gloves off and says, "This is the last time you'll see these gloves and these tights in this ring." Just like in the ring right there, retiring. And I mean, don't get me wrong, he was retiring in failure. So not quite as cool as Jerome Bettis, but still. It was two retirements in the same weekend in a shocking, weird place. So it was interesting.
I'm sorry. It's interesting, though. It seems like because they're both kind of... I was originally going to say that it had to be hard for Jerome Bettis at that moment to retire because... While he was holding that trophy, something in his head had to tell him that he could be holding it again next year also. I
got to be honest. Something in his head was probably telling him,
"Ouch,
you are..." in addition to that, you are so lucky to be holding this year. Because fact of the matter is, you should have lost to Indianapolis a couple of weeks ago because your big, stupid, fat body dropped the ball on the goal line like an idiot.
Plus, you were 7-5 and people were saying your quarterback would never lead you to the Super Bowl.
You know, members of your own team were saying that a year before. Mm-hmm. But
is it harder to retire on top, or is it harder to retire after you lost and not take one more shot? Because that seems to be the thing in sports that people... It's interesting. I was reading that Tom Glavine yesterday said that he's not getting this close to 300 wins just to retire.
Say hey? What are you talking about? Say again?
Tom Glavine.
I was just saying, say hey, making reference to Willie.
To Willie.
Who didn't retire when he should have retired.
Oh, Willie Mays, okay.
Yeah. Say hey, kid.
I was trying to scan through my head without openly saying I didn't know. I was trying to figure out if Willie Mays went out on top or not. Then I remembered he finished his career with the Mets, right?
He finished his career with the Mets, and there's just that image always of him flopping around in the outfield trying to pick up a ball and it just going through his legs and being horrible. But I'm sorry, back to Tom Glavine.
Well, Tom Glavine said that he won't get this close to 300 wins. Now, we're both Met fans. We'll let it be known. Very, very big Met fans.
And I think I'm not even going to mention.
And I love the Mets more than anything. But Tom Glavine made the biggest mistake of his life if he wanted to get to 300 wins anytime soon by not necessarily leaving Atlanta, because I know the Braves weren't very open to him coming back, but to come to the Mets... It's not exactly... I mean, he has pitched some really, really great, insanely great games.
With no offensive backup. Yeah.
Yep. You know, he's pitched well enough to have reached 300 already. Or, let me put it this way. He's pitched well enough to have come to be where he should be able to reach 300 this year. He's not going to win 25 games this year, I'm pretty sure.
You never know, dude.
He said he's not coming that close.
He'll probably get 30 starts this year.
That's true. He may even win 28 games.
Exactly.
Because you figure there's got to be at least two no decisions.
Right, obviously.
Non-biased sports talk on Best in Show.
Speaking of, by the way, the Steelers, there's no chance that they're going to win next year because obviously the Dolphins are taking it all, so as we're going non-biased sports
talk. My friend Chris here is a Miami Dolphins fan, in case you couldn't get that from his last comment.
No. I'm just talking reasonably speaking. I mean, it's more sensible to think that they're obviously going to win it all, right?
I don't fool myself. I'm a fan of the Atlanta Falcons. I know they're not going to win the Super Bowl next year because they're going to start an 11-year run the following year.
Okay. I mean, hey, you got the best running back in all sports.
As a quarterback.
He is a running back. It's just that he's not in the backfield. Well, he is in the backfield, just barely. He's a quarter of the way into the backfield.
There'll be plenty of time on this show where I'm gonna go off on the fact that I don't like Michael Vick as my team's quarterback, as fun as he is to watch, and as much of a playmaker as he is. But so I wonder, is it harder to retire, to go out on top? Do you retire like the former Met Ed Lynch, whose last professional game was pitching at AA and giving up 16 runs in one inning? Do you go out like...
Since we mentioned him, do you go out like Dan Marino in the second round of the playoffs to the Jacksonville Jaguars losing 63-7? Do you go out like that?
He was responsible for the 7, wasn't he?
Actually, I don't think he was. I'm trying to remember the game. It was one of the most heartbreaking things in the world.
Yeah, I didn't. You know what? I didn't realize he went out like that. I thought he went out on a non-playoff year.
63-7. First, I can't remember if it was the first or second round of the playoffs. And the quarterback of the other team?
Mark Brunell.
Jay Fiedler, his replacement the next year.
Jay Fiedler was on the Jaguars?
Well, sure was.
Wow, I don't remember that.
Yeah, he wasn't a starter, but that was the thing. They pulled Brunell out because it didn't make a difference because they were just demolishing. When you pull your starter out in a playoff game, do you think you should be respected as the opponent? But yeah, so I don't know. But you know, Willie Mays, the Sex Pistols,
David Cohn. See, it was rough for David Cohn. David Cohn should have walked off the field after that perfect game because it was all downhill from there. I know he pitched 5 shutout innings in his only start as a Met after that.
He wasn't horrible at the beginning. It's just, I mean, at the beginning of the end, I should say. You know, the beginning of that game, he was good.
Yeah. Ricky Henderson's still hanging on.
Ricky Henderson, I think, could still play.
I think Ricky Henderson's probably in better shape than half of the league, mm-hmm. So that's probably why. But he's 47 years old. Although, you know what? So was Julio Franco, and the Mets just signed him to a 2-year contract. So I guess age doesn't matter. Ricky Henderson is actually going to be a base-stealing coach for the Mets for spring training, and then he's going to continue on his, like, wherever he's playing right now. I think he's playing in the same place where you see Shoeless Joe Jackson playing at the end of 8 Men Out.
Say it ain't so, Ricky. I'm trying to think what other huge retirements you could think of, and that was the thing. Like there weren't too many. What's that?
I was gonna say they don't have to be sports either, but where else do you really retire from?
Nixon retired very very nicely. I'd say like you know music, you know you get your Sex Pistols. It was just an odd weekend, and it really caught me off guard, and I thought it was nutty, and I kind of dug it though. It was cool. It was cool to see the guy retire the way he did. Again, I'm not a Jerome Bettis fan. I'm not
Let
a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Was Jerome Bettis from... He was from Notre Dame, right? I think...
That's my response to that, because I know absolutely nothing about college football.
There was something depressing about it, because I believe...
He was Rudy?
Yes.
But he made it to the team. That shouldn't be depressing. You should be happy.
You didn't recognize him in Lord of the Rings, but that was him. But I think, if I'm not mistaken, he was a running back for Notre Dame.
Yeah, well, you're from New York. It could be Notre Dame.
when I was a kid, I hope. And now he's retiring from the NFL after a long career. I'm old.
Dude, I was just talking about Dan Marino 5 minutes ago. Dan Marino, the reason I'm a Dolphin fan is because I got hooked on, actually, David Woodley was the quarterback when I first started digging the Dolphins. And then Dan Marino came in, and he had a 17-year career, retired, and he's already in the Hall of Fame. You have to wait 5 years. I think I'm kind of old.
That's true. I didn't think of it that way.
He's in the Hall of Fame already. I had a 17-year career, and I started
watching
his team.
I didn't realize you saw Dan Marino's whole career.
Yep. And you know what?
What was his first year?
1983.
Oh, so you were into football way before. I didn't get into it until 1986.
And I was in it before that. I mean, like I told you, I was into David Woodley. My earliest Super Bowl memory, I guess, would be I'm trying to think if it would be Jim Plunkett as quarterback or Kenny Anderson of the Cincinnati Bengals. I can't remember. It's like 80, 81. That's like my earliest real football memory.
I have football
like
memories.
Seven.
I actually, as a matter of fact, I remember the Redskins-Dolphins Super Bowl because it was on my birthday, probably like my 8th birthday or something like that. 1982, was that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was...
But I wasn't a football fan at all. I wasn't watching. I remember my father playing with the... With the rabbit ears antenna cursing because he couldn't get the game in. But I wasn't really a big football guy. I was a baseball guy. I remember becoming a Milwaukee Brewers fan that same year when they won the World Series.
I'm about to say some things that are probably going to hurt your feelings when it comes to that sort of stuff.
You hate the Brewers?
The Brew Crew? No, I'm a big football fan more than anything. I love football. Always have loved football, obviously. I'm telling you, when I was 7, you know, I remember watching, you know, playoffs and stuff. I remember Uwe Sharman missing a field goal and me being so sad thinking that his team was going to kick the crap out of him in the locker room for making them lose the game. I think Uwe von Truman retired in 83, you know, so I don't know when I'm talking about. It could be like late 70s for all I could remember. I wasn't a huge baseball fan, but this is a poignant. If I had sad music to play, I would. This is like a revelation. I started as a New York Yankee fan.
Wow, I didn't know that. In all the time I've known you, you've never told me that.
You know who my first favorite player was?
I don't really have time to hear no, this.
We got to go to a break. Thanks so much. It was Rick Cerrone. I was a huge Rick Cerrone fan for some reason.
I remember that you loved Rick Cerrone because I think you have every baseball card of his right?
Yeah, something like that. And he's like a career 220 hitter. Never hit more than 10 home runs in a season at best.
I could appreciate that because in 1986, my favorite 1986 Met, Ed Hearn.
Wow.
Not Gary Carter, his four-eyed backup. He looked like Ed Begley Jr.
That's a very, very odd, very odd thing. I don't know what it was about Rick Cerrone that hooked me.
You knew he was going to finish with the Mets? I think he had 1 year with the Mets, if it was even a full season.
I don't think it was a full season. I don't know.
But I remember him definitely signing with them.
And that's why I'm a huge Newark Bears fan.
I thought that was because of Ricky Anderson also.
I don't know. We're getting totally crazy obsessing on old sports things here on Best in Show, the new program here on Megaforce Radio. My name is Chris. His name is 100K. It's just 100K, sorry.
And as you can tell from the name of the show, we're obviously huge dog show fans as well.
Dude, AKC show this week, really big. The American Pitbull Terrier, I think, won, right? Was it American Pitbull Terrier? I don't know what the hell it was. It was the dog. Remember Spuds McKenzie?
Yeah, with the black guy?
When he was over here the other day. No, not the little short one that won the dunk competition. The dog.
Oh, yeah.
The Budweiser show.
Did they used to punch him in the eye before each commercial to get it that black?
But whatever kind of dog that is, I know it's some sort of pit bull. Or Yorkshire Terrier, maybe?
That's who won.
It wasn't Spuds. I think he's been put to sleep from a horrible disease or whatever.
Spuds McKenzie, if he was still alive, there's no way he would. I think there's like age limits for, despite us being experts in it, I think there's like age limits. My knowledge extends to Christopher Guest's movie.
I don't even know that much. Speaking of that Christopher Guest movie, which, I mean, obviously our show has the same name as, I was talking about Parker Posey with my wife the other day, because there's this new Pepsi commercial with her and Jimmy Fallon. And, I mean, since the advent of TiVo, or DVR as it is in some places, or whatever, wherever you're doing it, you know, if it's getting obsessed with stupid names for different recording devices. But since the advent of TiVo/DVR...
Digital video recording?
Yes. I haven't... you don't really watch too many commercials anymore.
I know that, because I'll always say, you know, it's the song that's in that commercial, or it's the guy that's in that commercial, and your answer is always, I don't watch commercials. It's usually more angry than that, though.
Well, so the whole thing is, my wife is home, you know, and she gets to see the commercials sometimes, because she generally watches TV live. She doesn't TiVo a lot of stuff like me. And she made a point to make me watch this new Pepsi commercial, which is, it's Jimmy Fallon dancing on one side of a street and Parker Posey dancing on the other side of the street and walking down the street and dancing and posing with each other and whatever. It's just really stupid. It's really not a very funny commercial.
But you think Jimmy Fallon's really hot now from it?
He's gorgeous. The only semi-amusing thing is at the end, the two of them start dancing on a cab together and he takes her and throws her up in the air and she never comes down and he just continues to dance like it's nothing. But so, I mean, it's not a great commercial, but it just brought Parker Posey out for the first time that I thought about her. Like, I haven't thought about her in forever. When we were naming the new show, Best in Show, and we were looking, you know, at stuff online, and all these Best in Show movie websites would come up. Didn't even dawn on me. Didn't even remember that Parker Posey was in the movie. I wasn't a huge, huge fan of the movie. I'm a big Christopher Guest fan, but I wasn't like a maniac for the movie.
Well, she was in Waiting for Guffman also.
Well, here's my thing. This is the thing we were talking about. So as we're watching this, I look at my wife, and I'm just like, wait, when did Parker Posey become famous? The fact of the matter is, I remember her from that Party Girl movie. Is the first thing I remember her in. Did she do anything before that, or is that like her claim to fame? I'm actually going to start up the other
she
computer
probably,
and go to IMDb and look.
I think she did something before that, but that was the first time I ever heard of her. She was in a movie that was called, like, The House of Something, or The House of Yes or something, or was that Tori Spelling, maybe? But she was in a movie called The House of Something, but I never saw it. That might have been, like, right before Party Girl, if I'm not mistaken.
I love my favorite part of The House of Yes is Dan Aykroyd when he puts the hat on and, you know, he invites everybody to come up. I'm talking about The House of Blues, just being totally retarded.
I'm missing these things today.
I should talk into a microphone when I want to. Yeah, I can't for the life of me remember anything that she did before Party Girl, and I'm curious if there was anything.
I know she was in You've Got Mail, which you repeatedly make fun of me for liking.
I honestly never seen you. Got that's with Tom Hanks
and Meg
someone
Ryan.
That he's in love with.
Yeah,
in Seattle, sleeplessly.
I if somebody asks me if I like that movie, I'll say that it's a Dave Chappelle Parker Posey movie. I really won't, but that would sound better than liking a Tom Hanks Meg Ryan movie. I actually just like that movie. I don't know why, but that was probably the most famous thing I've ever seen her in.
The fact that I wouldn't even know that Dave Chappelle was in that movie. I know
it's not like he's funny in it or anything. He's just Tom Hanks' business partner, or not business partner, but friend or something.
Sorry, I'm looking up Parker, and it's not coming up. And surprisingly, Parker Lewis Can't Lose is not coming up either when I'm searching Parker.
Starring Corin Nemec? Is that even the same guy?
Maybe. Is that the big fat guy? Or is that the, like...
No, I think that's Parker Lewis. But I know... Yeah, I don't think she was in anything... But this is the thing. Is she famous? Like... I think you could probably name Parker Posey to a lot of people, and they won't know who you're talking about.
Okay, she was in Dazed and Confused, Sleepless
Never
in
saw
Seattle.
It. Oh, my God.
Joey Breaker, As the World Turns. I guess she was a soap opera girl before this. Where's, I'm not seeing...
Sleepless in Seattle.
I'm not seeing, what do you call?
Wasn't that You've Got Mail set in Seattle?
Yeah, I would think so. I'm not seeing. You've Got Mail is in there too. Yeah, she was in Sleepless in Seattle before she was in that. But Waiting for Guffman.
That's because that one came out first.
Oh, good. Yeah, for some reason it doesn't have Party Girl in here. I don't know. I don't know why it's not in here. I'm not going to get obsessed with doing a web search on Parker Posey. You guys could all do that in your spare time and figure out where she comes from, and you know. Talk about her.
That's actually strange that Party Girl's not in there, though.
Like, I thought that, like, that was her claim to fame. Like, that was her thing. But who knows?
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people saw that movie either, though. That's a really terrible movie.
Yeah, I don't know why. I think I thought that was a good movie for some reason, or a popular movie for some reason, because
it's
a cable movie.
I'm not saying I wouldn't. I don't. I just watched it again recently when I saw it on. But it's not. But there's things you watch that aren't good. I just said I watched You've Got Mail a couple times. It's by no means a good movie, but, you know, I just watch things sometimes. You know, it's not like...
What's your guilty pleasure movie, or your guilty pleasure show, or like the thing that you watch that you shouldn't be watching, or that you should be ashamed to watch?
I think I probably covered that with You've Got Mail.
Oh, I guess you just said You Got Mail and Sleepers in Seattle. I gotta be honest. When I first, got a hot box, a cable hot box, which I no longer have, by the way, so feel free to send any authorities that you want here to look for it. I don't have it anymore. But when I first got it, the first week that I got it, the free pay per views that I was watching that first week were, or the movies that were on pay per view that week that were the first ones were. I'm trying to think what that movie was with John Travolta. John Travolta did the movie with. Where he was like an
Michael?
Alien. No, not Michael. He was an alien. It's like a big Scientology movie.
Oh, Battlefield Earth.
Battlefield Earth. That was like the free pay-per-view the week that I first got the free pay-per-view.
You know, I know it's not recent, but his wife is still beautiful.
I gotta be honest, I couldn't pick her out of a lineup. Don't know who she is.
Because I was eating dinner at my mother's house last night, and Jerry Maguire was on the TV, and she's in that.
I thought that was the Reese Witherspoon girl. Not Reese Witherspoon.
She's in it too, but it looked like she was like Tom Cruise's girlfriend or something at the beginning of the movie.
I have no idea.
Did you ever see Mischief?
No.
Okay, Mischief was one of the two.
It's been explained to me, by the way, by the people that I work with, which believe. believe it or not, this is not what I do professionally. I don't get paid for this. You can shut that ringer off on that phone so we don't have to hear it in the background. Probably should have prepped that before we started the show.
I wouldn't listen anymore if I was anyone out there.
Yeah, just ignore it because it's obviously...
Because I can't find the ringer button.
Hand it over here. Let me shut the ringer.
That probably would have been a better idea in the first place since it's your phone.
Is it volume?
But yeah, she's in that movie Mischief. Mischief is the movie where the guy, the cool 50s guy tries to help the nerdy 50s guy get girls. And Kelly Preston is like the girl that he really wants.
So much so that until you just said it, I wouldn't have been able to tell you what John Travolta's wife's
name was. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, you've been told by people you work with.
Oh yeah, I've been told by people I work with. So when you start calling out movies, did you see this? Did you see that? You know, like I said, I don't do this for a living. But what I do for a living, the guys I work with, I've been lambasted for having zero credibility when it comes to just about anything, but mainly more than anything else, movies. I don't see movies. I'm not a big movie guy. In the past, you've been known on one of the older radio shows that we used to do together to do movie reviews. And the majority of the time, like, your explanation of that movie review was the knowledge I had of that movie. Because I don't see movies. I'm really bad. When you put me in a room, in a dark room, I generally fall asleep. It doesn't make a difference if it's, like, I've been awake for 10 minutes, if I've been awake for 5 hours or 20 hours. Like, I sleep through movies often. There are more than a few times. There are movies I know that I've been to that I've paid for that I don't know anything about because I went to them and just slept through them. I got woken up by the people that I was brought with.
That happened to me a couple of times. I fell asleep during Snatch.
Was that because you were really, really tired or...?
I was really, really, really extra tired at the time. But I fell asleep during Snatch. I almost fell asleep during The Messenger where Mila Jovovich is Joan of Arc.
You know what, man? That's definitely one of my guilty pleasure movies that every time I see that on cable, I'll watch
it
every time.
I didn't think it was bad, but I'd never watch it again.
I've watched that movie, without exaggeration, 7 or 8 times.
Although I think that it's really funny when he's telling her, I don't remember who, the guy that's like, that's talking to her, but you're not even sure who he is. Let me rephrase that. I'm not even sure who he is. I don't remember if he's even really there. But he's trying to tell her how the all the possible ways the sword that she thinks God sent down to her was left there, and the final scenario, he says, or possibly, and then you see some soldier walking, and he just tosses the sword off to the side. Yeah, that wasn't a bad movie. But I don't think I could get more guilty than you've got mail.
Yeah, no, that's horrible. That's horrible, horrifying. I'm trying to think, like, what...
You know what? I love Yankee Doodle Dandy, and I love the songs in it, too. Never, the old James Cagney movie.
Never seen it. Don't know anything about it. Like I said, no...
Sometimes you get a pass if a movie's older, more of a classic.
I got...
People will be less likely to get on you.
I got no credibility. Haven't seen anything. The stupid, the newest Star Wars movie, didn't see it.
I haven't seen the last two Star Wars movies.
Okay. All the classic...
I also thought The Phantom Menace was the best one out of the three, out of the first four, so I'm not really a Star Wars guy.
Okay, well, we'll move on past that. We're not going to fight over Star Wars, because you know what? What it comes down to is, despite the fact that I grew up with it and I love it, and part of me like loves those first three movies, really the first two movies, and I don't hate Return of the
Jedi. Yeah, I grew up obsessed with the first two, had all the toys and everything, but I just grew out of it, I guess.
If you look back at it now and try and watch it today, they're pretty bad movies.
Yeah. I think that's probably why I thought The Phantom Menace was the best one, but I don't even want to talk about Star Wars.
That movie was bad, too. By the way, you're listening to Best in Show exclusively on Megaforce Radio. My name is Chris. His name is Keith. And you can check us out here every Sunday, Sunday morning here in the AM for now. Yeah, sure. Enjoy yourself. I think we're going to be on from...
100K.
Oh, did I say Keith?
Yes, you did.
I'm a jerk.
My name is Keith. Well,
you know,
but I'm 100K.
You know, for the whole duration of any other show that we did, I never had a problem calling you 100K, but today, at the beginning of the show, you held up a piece of paper to me that said Keith. So then I got it in my head that I was going to call you Keith. Then you held up another piece of paper that said 100K.
Well, I told you, it was an uncomfortable 45 seconds to a minute that I wasn't 100K. I hate the name 100K, but
it's so absurdly odd. And it's everything wacky and zany and silly about radio that is...
It started as a joke.
That is 100%. what you're not, and that's why it's just odd. But I got so used to it, like to the point that there are some people, like I say, I was just talking about guys I work with. There are guys that I work with that, you know, used to listen to our old radio show, and whenever you call, I say, "Oh, I got 100K on the line with me," and it's just and. Like, you've become 100K to certain
You
people.
Reprimanded one of them the other day. I heard you saying, no, 100K isn't on the phone. His name is Keith. We're not doing a show.
But I do it all the time. I mean, some guys that we've been on the air with in the past, I mean, on the same stage with Craig Coleman of the Craig Coleman Show, the show in quotes. I referred, whenever I talk about you to him, I say, oh, yeah, I got to find out what 100K says about that or something. And he's always just like, you mean Keith? I'm just like, yeah, I don't know, man. It's just a habit.
He also ironed me a couple times thinking I was you, though, so...
Yeah, when he first became... Like, he was kind of our introduction from doing this ourselves to getting on other stations. And about that year ago when we first started doing this, you know, I would talk to him online all the time, and he'd listen to the show. He's like, yeah, so I can't tell which one of the three guys on the show you are, but I like your show. Just like, thanks. Hey, man, it was all that matters that he liked the show. Yeah, so 100K.
Yes.
I don't even remember what my point was when I first said that your name.
I corrected you.
But what was I saying before that when I called you, Keith? Let's spend 10 minutes trying to figure out what I was just
that,
saying.
That the name is ridiculous. I don't know. But whatever, it's my name.
Oh, yeah, so I have no movie credibility, what it comes down to. The classic horror films, your classics, never seen any of them.
Well, this is the thing.
You know what? The movie that you continually talk about as being the best movie of all time.
You've still never seen.
I've seen it once a long time ago, and I don't remember it. You can. It sounds fine. Chew your mint right in the microphone. It's good. It really doesn't sound bad. I'm just being a jerk for no reason.
Well, it was worth going. That didn't sound fun.
Nummy. You know, that's actually one of my biggest pet peeves. I hate when people chew with their mouth open. To the point that I've gotten into fights in restaurants with people because I like, dude, do you think you maybe could chew with your mouth closed? I'm a jerk.
Well, I don't like that either.
Most people shouldn't. I mean, most humans shouldn't if you're self-respecting and not a vile animal.
Then there's people that have to tell stories while they're chewing. And then there's actually the people that hold their mouth open like to, with the food in it, like to continue the story.
Oh.
Yeah, most of them are in the zoo, though. They're called gorillas.
I was going to say, yeah, and they also take handfuls of their own crap and hurl it at you when you're staring at them, too. But, yeah, so, I mean, like, so Rosemary's Baby I've seen once, which, by the way, is what
I think Rosemary's Baby is the greatest film ever.
By the way, does Tab have an energy drink?
Would you like to try it?
I think I will. Yeah, 100K here is drinking.
I just opened up a Tab energy drink.
See, I didn't know that Tab still existed, like as a soda.
Coke brought it back. Interesting thing about Coke. Do you know why it's called Coca-Cola?
It was used to be made with cocaine, right? With coca leaves.
Oh, okay, yeah. You do know that.
Honestly, Tab energy drink is about the worst thing I've ever tasted. Live up to the tradition of the deliciousness of Tab Cola.
Yeah, I don't consider myself a big movie guy either. Like, a lot of times, I'll go through, like, looking for a movie to watch, and I never want to invest the time, because I know I'm probably not going to enjoy it. Like, if there's something I want to see, like, you know, I was looking through the pay-per-views the other day. There was just nothing that I thought I wanted to devote 2 hours of my life to.
Strangely, I do want to devote 2 hours of my life to Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I haven't yet, though. Or 80 minutes, or however long it is.
The interesting thing is a lot of people that hate, probably yourself included, that would probably make fun of, like, big Hollywood action films, have all been telling me they really want to see that movie.
I don't know. You know what it is? It's the idea of a husband and wife being on opposite sides and kicking the crap out of each other that's kind of cool.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. I thought they were on the same side. That's why I just brushed it off as corny.
Oh, they might be on the same side.
Maybe they're not. I don't know.
I think in one of the commercials, I saw them punching each other. Again, I TiVo through those commercials. So it was
maybe they
so
were
fast.
Fighting over the remote or something.
I was saying, it was so fast in the commercial when I was TiVo, for my TiVo, when I was fast-forwarding by it, that maybe they weren't fighting each other at all.
Probably. I think Vince Vaughn's in that movie. I don't know why what that added to the conversation, really, but now you know.
Thanks.
Yeah, but I just couldn't find anything. Like, there was a movie called Red Eye, which actually I thought of earlier, because when I first saw the commercial for this movie, Red Eye, I thought the girl in it was, I think her name is Rachel Adams or Rachel McAdams or something. She looks like Parker Posey on the commercial.
Rachel Adams sounds familiar to me.
But there's this movie, Red Eye, that she's in, and it's about, whatever, a scary plane ride. It's a horror movie. But
which to me would be any plane ride. Well, it's a scary plane ride.
And I just, it wasn't out yet, but then I was thinking, even if it was, I don't think I would waste, you know, I don't care about the $4 necessarily for it, but I don't want to spend the next 2 hours. A lot of times, if I figure I have to go to sleep in 2 hours, and when I open my eyes, it's time to go to my miserable, miserable job again, I don't necessarily want to spend the last 2 hours watching something that I'm not going to care about.
I got to be 100% honest with you, total foreign concept to even think about it. I never would think, like, oh, I got to watch a movie tonight. And I like to buy DVDs and stuff of movies that I've liked in the past and stuff, but I've never considered
that. Well, you know, I don't think that I have to. That's the thing. I think that, oh, maybe I will now, you know? Like, plus, there's also the fact that I live with my girlfriend, and she never wants to really, like, there's a lot of movies she doesn't want to watch that.
She never really, like, wants to talk to me, so I have to go to the TV for affection. I'm joking, of course. That, by the way, that was a quote from Spinal Tap. I'm joking, of course. But
which Christopher Guest based all his movies on. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he was in it, but Waiting for Guffman, Best in Show, A Mighty Wind.
A Mighty Wind's another one that I still have never seen fully. I had the chicken pox when I tried to watch it, and I was delirious and don't remember.
It's really good. It's as good as the others, I think.
I remember really enjoying it. But
I love in Waiting for Guffman. If you've never seen it, he plays this... obviously gay character, but he's in, they live in Blaine, Missouri or something like that, like like a small town in Missouri, and so obviously he's not openly gay, and there's a scene where a woman mentions how his wife must work really hard because she's never met her before. I just thought of that, thought it was funny, but I don't know. There's never movies I want to see, and now, like, I'm that's what I started to say, I'm a big horror movie fan, but horror movies now, like, people made fun of 80s horror movies, but I guess because we were kids in the 80s, like, movies like Friday the 13th, as stupid as they are...
Stop saying we.
Oh, I forgot you're only 22, but...
No, not that I'm not old. I'm saying horror movies to me. Never seen Friday the 13th, any of them.
Oh, so you're not a horror movie guy at all.
Never seen any of their classic horror... Like, I started before talking, hinting at Rosemary's Baby. I've never seen any of them. You name it, haven't seen it.
A lot of the classic ones, like you mentioned, Frankenstein, the old Universal ones, they're...
Never saw Frankenstein.
They're not very good.
I saw When You Met Abbott and Costello.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, but the horror movies now, that first of all, they all... for some reason, Japanese horror movies became really popular.
I didn't even know that was a genre. What's a Japanese horror movie? Well, like The Ring, you mean?
The Ring is a remake of a Japanese horror movie.
I saw the original Ring.
And The Grudge is a remake of a Japanese horror movie.
I didn't see that.
But they're made in exactly the same way. The only difference is it's American actors instead of Japanese actors. And it's in English, obviously.
Thank God.
But I think it's crap, honestly.
Well, are those the only two? I mean, is it a whole new movement, or is it just two movies? I didn't know there were enough Japanese horror films to be. I mean, I'm sure in Japan there are tons of them, but I didn't know that it was enough of a genre.
I think, you know what? Outside of The Ring and The Grudge, I don't. I know there's a couple of others, but
I hate all Japanese horror. Then, actually, I like The Ring, so I love half of all the Japanese horror films that come out. Then,
but it's just, I don't know. You know, I guess it's the equivalent. What I was going to say about the 80s movies is, you know, the whole teenagers getting slashed up thing, that obviously grew old, and there was some actual legitimate horror movies, but I think now, like, when all the horror movies out are just, like, bad movies with actors from, like, Smallville and Dawson's Creek and all those shows, maybe it's my age showing now, but it's just,
Seventh,
like,
Heaven,
it's,
bro.
It's
Seventh Heaven.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Heaven, as I call it. Yeah, like I said, I didn't really watch... I watched gore movies as a kid, so I don't know the horror films from the 80s. I don't know the horror films from now. I don't really know horror at all. So I feel as though I'm being basically a stick in the spokes right now as you're trying to explain to me what's happening with horror, because I have no friggin' idea.
I think we spent the last half an hour talking about movies, me saying that I don't like them, and you saying you don't know anything about them, we've devoted 40% of the show to it.
It's entertainment, best in show, exclusively on Megaforce Radio. My name's Chris.
I'm 100K, you could say it.
No, I'm not going to say it because I'm going to screw it up every time, so I'm just going to sit back.
You can call me Keith also. You know what? I'm going to be like that Ultimate Fighting guy, and I'm going to have a couple of names.
You'll be, you want to be Captain America?
I think that's been taken a couple times, actually.
Oh, Bucky. Did you shed did you cry when you saw that Bucky died? Oh, no. You have no idea what I'm talking about?
No idea.
Bucky was Captain America's sidekick who died in the... I'd say early 80s in the comic book, and for some reason there's a Ween song that throws that line out there.
Okay.
Could you dry your eye when you saw that Bucky died? Oh no.
I was never a big comic guy either, even though I worked at a comic book store, but
I was a huge comic guy for a short time. For like 10 years probably, so I guess that'd be the opposite of a short time.
I don't think I ever regularly bought... There was a couple that I would... Actually, I love the old EC comics, the old 50s and 60s horror comics.
Okay.
But I never really read anything else regularly.
I was a big fan of there was something called Bean World in the late 80s.
I think I remember that.
Mid to late 80s. It was just odd. It was just like an odd, weird, nutty thing. But
Sandman was good. I never finished it.
I have real issues with any heroes or characters that have man in their name. Superman, Batman, Sandman, Spider-Man, any man, don't want nothing to do with you. Don't know why. Just a personal thing. It just seems goofy and stupid to me. Like, who is Wacky Man?
But you just said you like Captain America.
I don't. I didn't particularly like Captain America.
Man, Captain America, man.
No, man, I love him. But I wasn't a huge fan of him. I have a couple of issues, but I wasn't a huge fan. Yeah, like any of that stuff. I didn't dig. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I loved the Batman TV show with Adam West when I was younger. I never read. I tried to get into Batman comics, and it was just too... It was different. You know, I didn't realize, obviously, at the time that it was different from the show, because my introduction to Batman was that TV show. Yeah.
Kapowie. Zlap.
So I was never... You know what I was really into? Speaking of man, I was into a comic called Amazing Man, which was Amazing Man, but I think instead of an A, there was like an apostrophe before it. Like taking out the A.
I wish his whole thing was that he was always running through mazes, and that was the whole comic.
It's actually better. I don't know. I don't remember. I think he was a robot.
What could be better than a guy running through mazes? It's like Robotron, the comic.
In the next issue, will he get out?
It's a two-parter.
Amazing Man looked like a wastebasket. He looked like a little garbage can. I don't remember what he was. As a matter of fact, when I worked at that comic store about 5 or 6 years ago, I searched through their entire basement of old comics trying to find any issues of Amazing Man, and I couldn't find it.
Could you find it online? Like, do you know that it existed? Or
I know that it existed.
No, like, do you know that it really existed? Not while you were sitting in your room talking to yourself and, you know, doing whatever it was that you did in your room alone. I mean, that it wasn't like some product of your... like it wasn't.
That
like
is pretty hot considering I was like 9.
I didn't realize we were getting that sexy. But I mean, like, you sure it wasn't like a comic that a friend of yours did in the third grade?
I definitely had no creative friends.
Had or still don't have?
The closest I had was I had a friend named Victor who in 7th grade tried to get a fantasy baseball game going, which... In 1987...
By fantasy game, you meant that the two of you were outside saying...
We couldn't afford a ball or a bat.
Look at me, I'm Rafael Santana. I'm going to get this ball.
I'm sorry, I, when you say Rafael Santana, I think of the Get Metsmerized, the rap record the Mets did in 1986.
Oh my God,
and his line, Rafael Santana is my name, playing baseball is my game. Nice. But that's the speed he says it over, like a slow, steady beat. So then you basically have like 75% of the rest of it just like with him not saying anything. He brushed all his words out.
Hence why he played sports and didn't rap professionally.
Yeah, but he made a fantasy baseball game, and he would invent, like, Dungeons and Dragons games. I guess that's pretty creative.
Oh,
I'm going to go do a show with him instead.
I'll see you guys later. Can I play? Can I play from home? Can I listen to you guys?
I guess, if you want. He's the game creator, so I'll have to ask him.
He's your DM?
Yeah, he was definitely a DM.
I love DMs. I love... I've been known in the past to take part in some Dungeness and Dragoness lifestyle as a young man. And more recently, I've gone to some of these, I guess you'd call them Renaissance festivals. I guess by saying you would call them, you'd call them by their name. They're called like Renaissance festivals, where adults basically dress up like children who were playing Dungeons and Dragons and walk around and make believe. I guess the more popular term for it is LARPing, live action role playing. I've in the past been called a LARPer because I went to one of these festivals once, and they serve you this honey wine called mead while you're there, and you get really, really good and drunk. And I went with a guy I used to work with. I'm fumbling over myself here because this is somewhat of an embarrassing thing to discuss.
Well, this is what I was just thinking.
What's that?
You were free and clear.
I could have let it go.
Anyone that listened to our past shows knew that you were branded a LARPer. And it stuck to you miserably like a leech through the whole time. You were free and clear, but you were walking down the street and you saw that little can of worms on the ground.
Hey, what's this?
And you happen to have a can opener on you, so you figured, what the hell?
You know, I can't. I'm not going to deny anything that I've done. And you know damn well once we start, once the word gets out that this show is on at this time and we start having people call the show and get in, you know I'm going to get attacked by it. So I figured, why not just throw it out there at the beginning?
Well, we were trying to plan a trip to the Renaissance Festival, which never happened. I'd like to do that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, long story short, here's what happens. One of the guys I used to work with says, hey, you want to come to the Renaissance Festival? I'm like, dude, that's a bunch of adults dressing up like wizards.
No way, dude. I'm DMing that night.
Yeah, it just seems like the dumbest thing in the world. You know, nah, there's no way I'm going to do that. So we go, and as we pull up, like it's like 10 o'clock in the morning, and like we see like these adults like with, you know, full chainmail and guys dressed like Robin Hood and girls with, you know, big fat girls with bustiers on, so they're big, disgusting, gross milk sacks are pouring over the tops of themselves. And it was like, wow, these people are losers. What idiots are these people? And then you go inside, and within 3 seconds of being inside, there's like these little stands that sell mead for like $2. You drink mead, this honey wine, which is like, it's like 80 proof, but it tastes like, you know, like iced tea, basically. It's delicious. So you have one mead, and you walk a little bit. It's like, wow, I can't even believe I felt that little glass. It's awesome. Like, you know, wasted. And then, like, two meads and three meads. And then 7 or 8 meads later, I'm standing getting fitted for my crushed silk shirt to go with my big leather boots and cloak and walking stick that I've just bought. About $500 later, I'm in full wizard regalia. Walking around, and I still think these people are dumb, and then I'm starting to say aye to people as they're walking by, because for some reason, if I'm a wizard, I'm a pirate, and I got into the whole thing, and it's corny, and it's dumb, and it's stupid. I wouldn't say that I'm a LARPer, per se.
You didn't have enough mead?
Yeah, exactly. Give me a couple more meads, I'll admit to it. But okay, it was fun. It was fun to do it. If that makes me a LARPer.
It's coming out of you right now.
I'm LARPing. Yeah, I had some coffee this morning, so it's kind of like mead. So I've been known to LARP. So put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Sorry,
how's that for bringing everything to a screeching halt? But
I've never been to a Renaissance fair.
Yeah, so we did plan to go with our old show, and we never did it. I think we really should do it this year. I think we should just go, even if it has nothing to do with the show, just to go, because I want you to understand that it's fun. I want you to LARP with me. Like I said, I don't consider what I do there LARPing, but I got dressed up like an idiot and hung out.
Do they sell mead-flavored energy drinks I can have instead?
No, they don't. But you can eat...
Maybe I'll make one.
You can eat turkey drumsticks and walk around. I guess you could do that to any place.
There's nothing appealing about that to me.
You know what? You don't think it until you have it. Oh, God, mead and turkey drumsticks while you're dressed like a wizard? What could be better?
What else can you dress as?
I mean, I guess you could be a knight. or I mean, you could just as whatever you want. My wife.
Were there that many wizards around during that time?
Which, by the way, I'd like to point something out. My wife comes with me. I actually have a family. I actually have been able to get out of a basement and stop rolling my 12-sided die. I'm actually a semi-well-adjusted adult. But we'll get into all my problems at some other point in time. So, but yeah, when my wife comes with me, like she goes, she's wearing like you know t-shirt and shorts like a normal human being. I mean, she gets her hair braided while it's there, which, I mean, I guess is something that humans do. I'm the only person that gets my face painted and starts to dress.
Is she
like
embarrassed by you at the fair? Or is it anything goes because it's the Renaissance fair?
I guess the first time she thought it was...
Is it a fair or a festival?
Festival, fair, I don't know. Okay. I'm trying to think what the name of it is. I think it's festival is what they call it. Whatever. It's like a little town. It's up in Sterling, New York. It's the same place where they do the Halloween House of Horrors or something. They do some sort of Halloween festival there out there too.
See, that I'd like to go to.
That was horrible.
Really?
That was the worst thing I ever went to. It was more bargain basement than any like carny coming into town. And I don't mean, you know, like a festival, carnival coming into town. It was just bad. Like it's just like, you know, like there's trailers that you walk through that are quote unquote rides. It's just like, you know, you walk by and things are flashing on the walls and people are shaking chains next to your head and you're supposed to go, oh, I'm scared. It's
okay. Did you ever go to the Haunted Mansion in Long Branch, New Jersey?
No, but I assume it's like that.
What was the other one called? Brigadine Castle or something like that?
I have no idea what that is.
That was another one they had. I remember the commercials used to scare me when I was younger.
Ooh, spooky.
Yeah.
I don't know, man, so I'm with it. I say we go to the Renaissance Festival.
I always want to go to they have the Chiller Theater Horror Convention. I'm still trying to get to one of those to meet Zachary before he
dies.
You
didn't go this year?
I didn't go.
I thought you went this year.
You know what? I was going to go,
For those of you who don't know, by the way, you're listening to Best in Show on Megaforce Radio. I'm Chris, he's Keith, or 100K. I did it again, son of a bitch. Zachary was, explained to people who didn't grow up, you know, near us watching TV in this area, who Zachary is.
Well, to be fair, I've never seen him on TV. But I grew up listening to Zachary on the local WCBS-FM oldie station, which is now Jack.
But didn't Zachary do...
I think Zachary in the early 80s hosted a children's thing or something that you probably caught that I never did. Because I think you actually told me about it, and maybe somebody else told me about it. But I've never... Zachary became big in the 50s. He was a 50s and 60s, I guess, a TV horror host. And he was one of the two big ones. Goulardi was the other one. He was Cleveland-based, though. But Zachary had, like, a lot of records, too. Like, basically, you know the song Monster Mash? Well, his songs were kind of like that. Basically the same voice that guy sang with.
Ooh.
Yeah. Except his were a little more graphic and violent, so they got banned more, his songs. But anyway, he was a horror host, and he hosted a Halloween show on CBS-FM, the oldie station here in New York, through the 80s and into the early 90s, and that was it. He basically went off after that.
See, I seem to remember him hosting some sort of movie thing on TV.
Well, that's what he did. That was his big thing, but I don't know how late he did that. Maybe he did that in the 80s, too. I'm not really sure.
Maybe I just saw replays of it.
You could have seen
the
replays of it, too, yeah.
Like the old Channel 11, the old WPIX in New York, I think, used to play it. That's where I remember him from.
Channel 11 WPIX used to have a game. Mm-hmm. It was called Pix. Was it Pong? Or was it Space Invaders or something?
It was this
ridiculous game where you would call in live if you were the lucky kid after school each day, and every time you said Pix, it would fire up a little gun at the aliens,
and
the most you blew up, you had to beat a certain amount to get prizes or something, to get a certain amount of prizes or something along those lines, or just to have the high score, which is probably enough for kids to call in at that time.
Yeah, I gotta be honest with you, this is totally crazy, because this is triggering such crazy things in my head. There was on Staten Island Cable here, there used to be like
an
interactive phone game that you did with that too. I would love to.
Unfortunately, we were in our mid-20s while we were sitting home playing that.
Bro, I was like 19, alright? But yeah, I'd like to actually find some footage of this stuff and maybe put it up on our website. Our website, by the way, is bestinshowradio.com. You can check all the stuff out there. Actually, if you're listening to this, you already know that. But my kid is just screaming like a maniac in the other room. We need to to get clips of this stuff, because I'd love to put it on site, because like we're making reference to these things that the majority of the people that are going to hear this have no idea what we're talking about. The pics and this, I'd love the idea of these phone TV show games. It's like it's as close as you come to like standing behind a TV news reporter and waving your hand behind them. It's like, hey, I'm on TV, because you could hear yourself, you know, talking on TV.
Well, the reason that, interestingly enough, Staten Island Cable took that game off, I believe, because it would whatever number you pressed, it would say 7, 6, 4, you know, because you entered in your choice. But it was set up where even if it wasn't one of the choices, the number would come up. So people out of, I guess, like, to play tricks on each other or friends or out of revenge, whatever, after a while, the whole game was 7, 1, 8, 9, 8, 7, 4, and so on and so forth, giving somebody's phone number out on the air, and then right after that became the regular thing, then they took it off.
Oh, man. I would love to play that game again. There was the one aspect of it, there was a more... It just dawned on me right now. I was going to say it was almost like a Choose Your Adventure.
Yeah, it was Choose Your. If you remember Choose Your Own Adventure books, it was the television version.
But the reason why I'm laughing is because it wasn't a Choose Your Own Adventure book. It was essentially TV LARPing, and that's why I was such a big fan of it. And I always remember the old man, like you'd get to the point where you'd make a choice, and you get the voice, like, what do you do? Is what the voice, what the guy would say. And again, this is a reference that's funny to me. It's funny to like 10 people on Staten Island that know this, like me, 100K, and like 8 of our friends. We got to get clips of this stuff. I got to be honest, I bet you anything on one of the thousands of videotapes that I have up in my attic, I probably have a videotape.
You actually videotaped yourself playing
it. Dude, I had such a great game that day. I got to do it. I actually have a videotape someplace of me and my friend Joe, my best man for my wedding. I won't mention his last name.
Can I have his address?
Yeah, two. I have a videotape of he and I playing Nintendo's Pro Wrestling back when I first figured out how to hook my Nintendo up to my VCR that I could tape it.
Oh, I didn't even know you could do that.
And then I overdubbed it with he and I as announcers announcing the match.
Wow, you really are a LARPer.
I got to find it somewhere.
Do you realize you made playing video games geekier?
You know what? It's probably one of the worst things in the world, but it seems so fun at the time. I would love to find that tape. I got to find it. I also have videotapes of me playing The Legend of Zelda.
Actually, I'm going to make it even geekier because I'm going to film myself introducing it as classic LARPing and release it to the world.
It'll be awesome. Yeah, it was really good stuff, though, man. King Korn Karn, I think, was the world champion of that game. King Korn Karn? Or no, King Slender. King Korn Karn was the predecessor to him in the game. I'm talking about a game that's over 20 years old, so we could really appeal to the kids.
I found a bunch of old commercials. I think I even sent you one of the...
the old wrestling figures. Yeah, the LJN wrestling figures. That's awesome. That
and I think you pointed out how they say something in the commercial, like you can't tell the difference. Or
Hold on, because I'm actually going to get the commercial and load it up so people could hear it on here. Talk about
but
it.
But I found a bunch of 80s commercials that I downloaded, and there was the Legend of Zelda commercial, which was driving me crazy because I didn't remember it. It's like a guy with kind of like a curly-haired guy's afro. And he's, like, in a jail cell, in a straitjacket, and he's, like, looking for Zelda. And there was the, of course, the Kool-Aid commercials.
Oh, yeah.
There was the Kool-Aid commercials, but the wrestling one was for the little 6-inch, to set it up a little, for the little 6-inch figures that WWF, no good?
Yeah, my computer's all screwed up. I'll get that and let's get mesmerized for next week. Mesmerized, excuse me.
Well, I have that already. But I don't have it here, though, so I guess it doesn't do us very good.
Yeah, what are you going to do? But whatever, the whole point of the thing was, in this commercial, this guy says, I mean, we're talking about 6-inch rubber figures, which action figures, which, by the way, mind you, it when they came out in the mid-80s, didn't have any joints that were bendable. So they were basically just rubber statues of your favorite wrestler.
Well, the arm went from the side to forward like they were going to shake hands, didn't they? Oh, no, you're right. They didn't move at
they
all.
They were solid statues. There was flexibility to them other than the fact that they were rubber. I mean, like you could
they were rubber
and
they
them.
Were a little soft, yeah.
Right. You know what? And they weren't a little soft. Well, a little story, just side note before I get a little further into this thing. My dog at the time was running around the house and going crazy and pissing me off. I took my Hillbilly Jim figure and whipped it at him as trying to get him to calm down. I missed him and put a hole in the wall to let you know how rubber and soft it was.
Okay.
And I tried to explain to my parents, oh, no, he was walking around with the figure and he shook his head while he was biting on it and he banged it into the wall. It's like, yeah, all of a sudden now we have the least dexterous dog in the world. It's just like we have the clumsy dog who falls down the steps and bangs into things, you idiot. But,
I used to make S.D. Jones beat Hulk Hogan and Greg the Hammer Valentine for some reason. We're on the same team.
Well, they were blonde, obviously.
Because I wanted S.D. Jones to be the champion. I wanted him to be the two-on-one champion, a title I made up.
S.D. Jones, who actually owns a Cuban sandwich shop in the Bronx right now. I've known this for years. And I still have yet to go to the place, but I know someone who's been there. I got to find out where it is. And one of these days, you got to meet your what would you call him? Not your, I wouldn't necessarily call him your hero, but like he's like a lesser
hero. He was my favorite wrestler.
Oh, okay. I guess that would be closer to what he was. Yeah, oh man. So these figures, like I said, there was no flexibility to them. There was really no, for lack of a better term, wrestlability to them. Mm-hmm. They were pointless.
But they sold a ring.
Yeah, so you could pose your guys in it, but you by pose I mean just let them sit there because they wouldn't go into any other position other than the one they were pre-molded in. And these figures on this commercial, which I didn't remember this commercial until 100K sent it to me, says the term as he said, "You can't so real you can hardly tell the difference from the what was it so
lifelike
so lifelike you could hardly tell the difference from the real thing." It's like, wait, they're 6 to 8 inches tall. And they're rubber. I think I might be able to tell the difference. And they don't move.
And the kids in the commercial that can't tell the difference have the real wrestlers standing beside them, standing behind them, cheering them on.
Well, yeah, obviously. Wait a minute. Is this a figure cheering on a wrestler or a wrestler cheering on a figure? I can't tell. It was the worst commercial.
Did you used to get excited for toy commercials?
Of course.
Right after Halloween. It was right after Halloween they would start loading the TV. See, during cartoons and like daytime, which was always cartoons, there was never any... Well, yeah, that's true. There was the Romper Room and Electric Company shows. But for like kids that were a little bit older...
Intermediate aged kids,
yeah,
I guess.
It was always pretty much cartoons during the day.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I the way I remember TV... It was cartoons in the morning before kids went to school, game shows all day, and then at like 2 o'clock, the cartoons came back on.
Right.
Okay, but so you're talking about the prime time for kids, 2 o'clock cartoons. When, I mean, now it's the prime time for kids to sit around and watch TV. Honestly, our age, I think we would be back and forth between watching TV and actually playing outside, something that kids don't do anymore. But
or just playing video games instead
yeah,
of
exactly.
watching TV.
True.
I don't even know. You have a young child, so you probably know more about what's...
My daughter's two. I really don't know a lot about what's going on.
So she's into the really young shows then.
Yeah. Your Blue's Clues. You
Is
know.
There an equivalent to like Thundercats now? I know a lot of the superheroes came back. Like
you know what?
Batman and...
Superheroes came back and all of the popular cartoons from our... For lack of a better term, intermediate age. By the way, I think I'm going to start giving a dollar to the show every time I say for lack of a better term, because I think I say it constantly. It's my verbal crutch. So for lack of a better term, damn it!
You're for lack of a better term, Jar.
Yeah, and I'm going to use it to buy better terms for myself. but all the intermediate age shows that we've had, like Thundercats, not Thundercats specifically, but like Transformers, G.I. Joe... For the ladies, My Little Pony, Strawberry Shortcake,
Rainbow Bright.
Well, not Rainbow Bright, but the other ones I just mentioned have had a revival now. They're reselling these toys,
okay.
And they're redoing these commercials. I mean, redoing these shows. There's, I mean, for us, you know, I used to love the Transformers. I actually have a Transformers tattoo on my, I had to look, right forearm. You know, Transformers have now had like 20 incarnations. since then. From when we were kids, it was the Transformers. Then they became the Transformers Beast Wars. Then they became the Transformers Next Generation. You know, obviously it's not.
So it's just
recycling the same old shows. The same thing that they do with movies nowadays. Again, I don't see them, but I I fast forward on my TiVo through the commercials for them and know that there was a Black Honeymooners movie. I know that there's the Pink Panther again because you needed another Pink Panther.
You know what? I was actually surprised at that because I would think Steve Martin is a guy...
Yeah, a guy who was around and probably saw the original... Not probably, who was an adult watching the original wouldn't want to redo it.
And yeah. I would think as a guy like Steve Martin has to...
Maybe he's
have the utmost respect for like some as funny... For how funny somebody like Peter Sellers was, especially in that role. It surprises me that he would want to do it again.
He's just pissed off that he was... They looked over him for the role the first time, so he's going to do it 25 years later.
His arrow through the head audition didn't go very well. I have an arrow through my head.
But I'm trying to think what all the other movies that they're redoing. I mean, everything.
Anything that was a 70s TV show is just fair game right now.
It's not even just that. I mean, every movie that was ever done, they redo.
Yeah, that's just basically the...
There's no original concept for any film other than Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And that's why I'm not going to watch it on pay-per-view, but I consider watching it.
Isn't that a remake?
Is it really? No, that's Mr. Smith Goes to Washington that you're thinking of.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I
thought it was based on something, but you know what? I may be wrong.
It very well might be. I have no idea. But yeah, so that's the concept of cartoons. So you're saying that's
but yeah, the prime toy commercial time was always for during cartoons. And then, like, right after Halloween, the toy commercials would start just being, like, all through the prime time and the evening, and...
I guess so the adults would know what they're supposed to be getting for the kids. I honestly don't remember that at all. I don't really remember much prime time TV from when I was a kid other than Happy Days and Three's Company and All in the Family, and I think that's about it.
And that was more evening television. That was 6 o'clock, 6:30.
No. That was when they were in reruns.
Right.
I'm talking about when they were on TV, like when they
All
were
All in the Family. You remember being on?
Absolutely. All in the Family was a 70s show. You don't remember watching TV in the 70s at all? When I was thinking about Rick Cerrone and Kenny Anderson.
I was 5 years old when 1980 arrived.
No. Well, yeah, I guess you know what? I was only seven.
Granted, those 2 years are a big difference from 5 to 7, because I couldn't remember 1982, so I remember my dad messing around with the antenna.
Yeah, I specifically remember, how's this for a memory? I remember some of Ronald Reagan's campaign speeches, and I remember waking up very early on Sunday mornings waiting for cartoons to come on and flipping through their channels. At that time, there were seven of them. And flipping through, and it was only if you were lucky and your rabbit ears worked well, and flipping through trying to find something to watch. And I remember sitting and watching, I had this crazy image I remember to date with sun in the background and Ronald Reagan wearing a white polo shirt, like, you know, on the campaign trail. So, I mean, like, I have memories from the 70s without question. And that's,
I remember the hostage thing, but I think that was...
He was already a president by that point.
He was president already, right?
No, well, no, the hostage crisis started with Jimmy Carter. So that was 70s. I don't know.
But barely, I remember. But anyway, I remember the toy commercials were like a big deal, but I remember, it's funny, when words like fresh and more like some early 80s hip-hop words, you know.
Was there anyone other that was really any more important than fresh?
No.
I had a black sweatshirt with big green iron-on letters on it that said fresh. Definitely.
And I'm sure you were.
Oh, well, why couldn't I be? I was trying to do backspins all the time, and I never could because I was a little fat kid that couldn't do backspins.
But I remember I was already a teenager. It was probably like 1990 before the toy commercials caught on, and they would show little girls playing with dolls. And I remember, I don't remember what the toy was, but I remember seeing a commercial with a little girl playing with a doll, and she says, "Fresh!"
What kind of...
It was like 1991, though, that they finally decided that word was going to go onto a toy commercial.
I honestly wish I could remember that at all. That's insanity.
I wish I could find it. I couldn't even tell you what it was, though. See, now the commercials are it's all like little kids dancing to hip hop and stuff. And
don't be a jive jerky. Get this toy. It's fresh.
Your doll is whack, bitch.
It's yeah.
Of course, now they say biatch instead.
Biznitch.
They updated it.
But yeah, I wish I could remember some Get Fresh toys. They're deaf. They're most deaf.
I downloaded a Run DMC ringtone to my phone last night. I have no idea why. I'm never going to use it.
You know, I'm heartbroken. I have my cell phone, and then I have my cell phone that was provided to me by work, which I don't pay for, so that's really the only phone I use anymore. And I have a bunch of great ringtones on my phone, but there's no way I could transfer them to my work phone. And I can't just download them to my work phone without my boss saying, hey, why did you spend $20 on new ringers? But yeah, that's all. I wasn't going anyplace. Yeah, you just mentioned ringtone, so I thought about it. It's like, oh.
Yeah, but so I have all these old 80s commercials, and there's just a wealth of stuff from the time we grew up.
I'm going to go so far as to say that's not true. I think there's a wealth of stuff from every generation, but for some reason,
oh yeah, no,
everyone
of course
only thinks their own generation.
But me and you happen to be from the same one.
Oh yeah, no, totally. I mean, the whole concept of like why they have all these VH1 shows now, like I Love the 80s and the 80s Strikes Back and all that stuff. Like, oh dude, there was such great stuff in the 80s. If there was VH1 in 1980, there would have been a I Love the 70s
that was
actually as popular. It's just we're the age now. I don't even know what's our generation.
Although
called?
I don't buy I Love the 90s.
I love the yesterday. What's the what's our generation called?
Generation Y.
Is that really what they
call
it? Is
that us or are we too old for that?
I don't even know.
Well, we're not Generation X, right?
No, Gen X is before us.
Who's that? Like, how old are those people now?
I don't know.
Let's see how far back we can go. There's the baby boomers who are all approaching 60 now. So our parents. I don't think that's the baby boomers.
Well,
but that's when they were born, maybe.
To me, that's what a baby boomer is.
That song. That Benny Goodman song. There's the baby boomers, and then Generation X, are they?
That's Gen X, right?
Yes.
No, then there's you got your baby boomers. Then you got your for some reason when I'm thinking like 70s people, I'm thinking I don't know what their generation is called.
What, people in their 70s or people that grew up in the 70s?
Grew up in the 70s. That were adults in the 70s, though. You know, like old, like maybe 10 years older than our parents, probably. Oh, actually, no, maybe about our parents' age, I guess.
Well, weren't the baby boomers in their late 20s, early 30s in the 70s? No. That would be the 80s.
Yeah. I'm thinking more like the people who are into the Let It Be look. That's all I could think about. Like guys with messy hair on TV commercials, on Grecian Formula commercials. I'm totally making obscure references that mean nothing to
anyone. An interesting thing, my father once told me that when he was about 20 years old, that even though his friends, like, they would like bands like Led Zeppelin, that was something that, like, younger kids, like, that was like kid music, you know, like it was
kind of like as opposed to
the Who and the Beatles. It's a matter of a handful of years, but it's just, you know, at that age, it's a big deal. These might be the age you're talking about.
Okay,
maybe.
I don't know the difference really. I know there's Generation X.
Give me a calculator, I'll figure it out.
My hypothesis is based on the cosine of this angle. Like that, the way that you're saying that, like that there was Led Zeppelin was for kids younger for your father. That's kind of the way that I felt about Marilyn Manson, but I dug the Mechanical Animals album terribly. But same type of thing. Like I felt like that's meant for kids. I'm too old to be listening to this.
Yeah.
It's don't get me wrong. It's on my MP3 player.
Well, that album's brilliant.
And it's the only good album he ever did.
Yeah, by far.
And everyone says, oh, you're afraid of the, all the kids. Oh, it's because you're old to the devil and stuff. Like, no, dude, that's cool. I got no problem with any of that. It's just that the music really sucks. I don't know, but I have a warped perception of what good music is. I think everyone does. I live in my own bubble where I think certain stuff is great and certain stuff is horrible.
But what are these 70s people you're talking about? Like, I don't think there's a name. There's baby boomers have a name, and they probably, they probably group more people than really originally they did. Like, the baby boomers were when everybody started having babies because the war was over and everybody
Boom.
Was home. And
babies.
Yeah.
Boom, here comes the baby.
So how old are Generation X-ers?
Well, those are the people from... Those are like...
I apologize for coughing. It's just there's no on-off switch here, so, and I'm a little
sorry.
Sick.
I'm sorry. I got to get a cough button for you. I assumed that Gen Xers were like... Or 80s people.
People that were 17 in 1980.
Yeah, like people who were young adults. But when I say young adults, not like teenagers. Like real young adults, like in their early 20s.
So people that like...
For Miami Vice.
Okay.
For Blue Thunder, for Cagney and Lacey, for Hill Street Blues, that whole era.
So people that were old enough to go to Duran Duran's like first concert in America.
Probably not the reference point that I would have used, but sure. People who wore the relaxed shirts and I mean nothing. By the way, you're listening to Best in Show exclusively on Megaforce Radio. My name's Chris. His name's 100K. And you can check us out here every Sunday morning until we figure out what we're going to do with ourselves and where we're going to go and how we're going to do stuff. I don't know, man.
Did you have a big band or person that you loved pre-10 years old?
Band or person pre-10? Well, my first records that I owned were Billy Joel records, but that was because like someone got them for me, and I thought I was supposed to like it. And I think I did think I liked it for a while, even though I didn't understand what the hell any of his crap was, and he's garbage, and I hate him now. I was big into Bruce Springsteen. I was big into Michael Jackson. I was big into Men at Work.
Men at Work.
Those are my early bands.
I was a big Beatles kid.
Oh, God. You know what else I was big into?
And then,
Hold on. I'm going to find you what I was big into.
All right. So I guess that requires you being away from the mic, so I'm going to talk.
Yeah. I probably should have given you the heads up to let people know what's happening. I was going in my closet to pull out my closet full of secrets. I have a record case, a vinyl case here. I don't have a record player in my house, of course. And these are some things. Oh, by the way, here's a picture from the Forest of Fear, which is the Renaissance Festival scary Halloween stuff. I'm pulling out a record.
Oh no!
Called Mini Pops. This is one of the vinyls that I had when I was very, very young. Mini Pops was released in. It's a KTEL record, first of all.
Of course.
KTEL Records, for those of you who don't know, which would be anyone under the age of 100, won't know. KTEL Records was sold, like you would call a phone number online. They were like TV commercials for records that you would have. And Mini Pops was a bunch of kids singing the popular songs of the era, like the one that I just handed to them. From what I understand, it's a whole series. Like there are multiple Mini Pops. But the original one that I have, I mean, it has like a Madness song on it. It has some Blondie on it. It has some Cool in the Gang.
You know, I got to tell you something as I'm reading this album. There are some like obscure songs on here.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
There's a song called Stop the Cavalry by a guy named Jonah Louie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you know who Jonah Louie is, he had a song called Kitchen at Parties. Most people probably aren't going to know that song anyway unless they're like big New Wave fans. This is like a less popular song by the guy who had the song Nobody Knows. It's
Dude,
Baggy Trousers.
Baggy Trousers
by Madness. If you like Madness, you'll know that song. But like,
it's not our house.
No,
exactly. But they do have Video Killed the Radio Star.
There's a guy who works down the chip shop. I think that was Kirsty McCall. I think her name was. But yeah, that's pretty strange. I have Chipmunk Punk, but there's nothing that obscure on Chipmunk Punk.
Yeah,
there's like a Tom Petty song for some reason. So the Chipmunks did not know what punk music was, and I'm still pissed at them for that.
Did the Chipmunks not know, or did we not know how punk Tom Petty was?
You know what? You might, I never thought of it that way.
But yeah, so those were the early records that I was into. Mini Pops was one of them. I got to be honest with you, that is not my original copy of Mini Pops. I don't know what happened to my original copy. On the RonFez.net message board, I actually made reference to it for some reason one day on this message board, and someone, like, you know, within 3 seconds, someone posted a message about what the record was called, and it was like, holy crap, and then someone else posted up the eBay auction of someone selling it at that precise moment, and I wound up getting the record. Actually, strangely, someone else from the RonFez.net message board outbid me intentionally and then gave it to me. But it was just like it was the funniest thing in the world. They outbid me by like a cent, and I was away from a computer and didn't know, and I lost it. But yeah, so I got my Mini Pops back. So yeah, Bruce Springsteen, Billy Joel, Michael Jackson, Men at Work, and Mini Pops. And by the way,
I love that Mini Pops is.
Those were my records. That's what I owned. Those, that was all the vinyl that I owned. And I'm trying to think. And I'm trying to think what else. By the way, the Bruce Springsteen vinyl, really kid-friendly vinyl, The River. If you know anything about Bruce Springsteen, just depressing double album. It's the only thing that could be worse if I had Nebraska. It was just like, just not something for a kid to be listening to, and that's what I'm sitting listening to. It wasn't like, hey, born in the USA.
Well, that brings me to this. I think my father was really thrilled that when I was like 9 years old, or maybe probably even like 8 years old, I decided I loved Adam Ant.
Okay.
So like the Strip album I made my parents get me for like my 9th birthday. Adam Ant, I was really into David Bowie, which...
You still are.
Well, I'm still into Adam Ant, too.
I haven't heard... Well, I also don't listen to you listen to records. For the
I also if you I have some level of intelligence, and I know how much better David Bowie is than Adam Ant, so...
I'm just kidding.
It's not intelligence. It's just my...
But by the way, speaking of stuff, like, we're talking about things that we like, things that we don't like. We're kind of more or less introducing ourselves to our the new people that would be checking us out, if they're still listening to us at this point, or if they haven't, you know, totally ran away saying these guys are insane and obsessing about what they do.
Ran out to buy those wrestling figures.
Yeah, exactly. They said, they're so lifelike, I gotta go. But we've discussed music a lot. We tend to discuss music a lot. We tend to discuss sports a lot, movies, whatever, a lot of things. Random pop culture stuff that we think of, and not so pop culture anymore, but was pop culture at some point. In our discussions in the past, and this is like as radio people and as friends, I've never got into a lot of the stuff that you got into musically. And way to jump on the bandwagon at the right time. The year is 2006. You know what I can't stop listening to this week? Something that I've always said that I wouldn't... That I was just like, yeah, I respect them, but I don't really love them. I've been obsessed with listening to the Velvet Underground all week now.
Really?
I never was a Velvet Underground guy. Like, I liked them, I respected them, thought they were okay. I am going crazy listening to the Velvet Underground all this week. And I'll probably be out of it by next week and hate them again, even though I never hated them. I only hate, like, the Grateful Dead and Creedence Clearwater Revival. Those are the two bands I hate. But Velvet Underground, I was never a huge fan. I'm just totally crazy listening to this week. That's all. No point to the story. If I was prepared, I'd actually put something on in the background and we'd listen to the Velvet Underground.
I got into them later. I think I was like 14 when I started listening to them.
Later than me at 32. Well, getting into them for the first time.
I guess I was still thinking of early pre-10 conversation.
The guy from the Velvet Underground who continued with a solo career after the fact has stopped being relevant, so now that I'm going to start listening to his early stuff at 30.
Not to mention one of them's dead.
But, you know, I mean, that's where I'm at.
The four albums they put out, I hate using the word brilliant because I always do, so I'm going to say they're fantastic.
Smartly good, Lee.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything necessarily intelligent about the albums. I don't think they can solve, like, math problems if, like, you put the album there and asked it a question.
But they know that they're going to go meet their man. So, that song is insane. That song is just totally...
So
insane.
Where did you start? With the first album, or you just have a bunch of songs?
I just have a bunch of songs. I honestly don't know what's... I know which one is the Nico record. That's really...
This is the best thing that I did. I got into the Velvet Underground because I used to listen to a radio station and they used to play Lou Reed. And my dad had this book by this woman named Lillian Roxon. It was called Rock and Roll. It was from like 1969. The whole book is just little paragraphs, or in the case of, like, say, I guess the Beatles, like 4 pages. But
I got news for you. I think my father had this book.
The
and
same
I
book.
Specifically remember it.
There was bands in there that I used to read about all the time. I would read this book. I was kind of a geeky kid. I was really into music.
Geek plays fantasy LARPing. You were a music kid, a little introverted is probably a better word.
Definitely introverted, but obsessed with music, maybe.
Okay.
I loved Yes before I was 10 years old. Yes.
Okay, you're geeky.
My dad thought I was a nerd. Kids are supposed to think that about their parents.
I hear you.
But she mentioned the Velvet Underground in this book. And now this I'm reading at a really young age, but I never was able to hear them. But in the book she says, she makes some mention of the fact that you can just picture... Now, this lady's corny, too. And by the way, this lady choked on a ham sandwich and died the way that Mama Cass from The Mamas and the Papas supposedly did, but didn't really. This woman really did.
It was really ham?
You know what? It probably wasn't. And she's probably still alive, but that's the story I heard. So I'm going to leave it at that.
I think
she really choked on some kind of food. I don't know if it was a sandwich.
Understood, though.
And but she mentions some corny thing about you can picture people performing black masses to the Velvet Underground's music. Now, of course, that's so corny if you read it now. But when I was 8 years old, that was like scary. Like, oh, what is this? I have to know what this is. And, you know, so there's all types of stuff about it. When I finally heard the Velvet Underground, I guess I was probably like 13 or something. It wasn't quite as mysterious as
you were wondering why it wasn't a Baptist revival at that point, because you were expecting some sort of black mass to be happening.
But I was intrigued by it. But so what I did is I had heard... They always played Lou Reed, the two songs Rock and Roll and Sweet Jane, which they still play on classic rock stations today. They play the Velvet Underground versions, but they call it Lou Reed for some reason. They don't call it the Velvet Underground. But I bought the albums in order. The first one is the one with Nico, and I bought them in the order of 1, 2, 3, 4 that they came out, which was a great way to be able to experience it. So I'd like you to delete all of your MP3s and forget everything you know, and I'm going to loan you each album in order.
Okay, excellent. I was actually just looking around for the cable to hook up my MP3 player to the computer so I could actually put some Velvet Underground on in the background, but it's too much work because I don't know where the cable is.
The song I'm Waiting for the Man is from the first album. It's about Lou meeting his heroin dealer on Lexington and 125, as he calls it, which would be a section of New York called Harlem, for those of you that don't know.
Geography, God love it. But yeah, it's just odd that I've been listening to that this week.
I love the Velvet Underground. I haven't listened to them in a while, though. That's what happens. But
it's just odd that, like, of all times, like now at 32. And like I said, it's not that I never disliked them, but I never loved them. Been obsessed with them this week.
But I got something will disappoint you. Well, I don't know if you'll care, but I found out later on there was a guy named
that one of them eventually does a song called Wild Side. Yeah. That will disappoint me when I find out about it.
There was one of the original members. Wow, now I don't remember anymore. I think it was John Cale, who was on the first two albums, left the band, and a guy named Doug Yule joined. From the third album on, Lou Reed isn't singing anymore. You know when Lou Reed's singing, because he sings like this, like Lou Reed does. But, like, his voice didn't hold up very long, and, like, there's a song called Candy Says... Mm-hmm. On the third album, that's not Lou Reed singing. Mm-hmm. It's a guy that sounds like Lou Reed but can actually sing. I only found this out a few years ago. I was very disappointed when I read this. But still, Doug Yule actually continued the Velvet Underground after the band broke up. He brought his brother in, and they released an album under the Velvet Underground name, which was just like, a guy that joined the band later on.
It's like going to see Lynyrd Skynyrd today.
Don't they have more original members?
I guess they have more original than one who was not even original, but was in one incarnation of the group. It's like going to see Guns N' Roses today.
Okay.
I guess would be...
But that's Axl. The Rose is still there, at least.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Actually, the best is... Again, it's probably an obscure band. There was a band called Love from the 60s. They had a singer named Arthur Lee who became a junkie, I guess, then, and was one up until a few years ago. But he got a band... There was a band called Baby Lemonade who were guys that are probably in their 20s. They're a current band. He got them to back him up on a tour. So then they decided to go out on tour as Love. So it's Arthur Lee, an original member from 30 years ago, and this band called Baby Lemonade. They went out on tour. Arthur Lee now is so screwed up that he's crazy, so he just couldn't continue on the tour anymore.
This band Baby Lemonade is
now... On the website, they wrote... The members of Love decided the best thing to do was to continue on without him. So some guys that weren't even necessarily born when the Love group wasn't in existence anymore, because they backed the singer up 30 years later, decided to continue on as the Love group.
Nice.
That's almost as good as the Beach Boys' Experience, which was Al Jardine, not even one of the Wilson brothers.
I think I want to play Catch later on this week with, like, Dwight Gooden, and then I'm going to form my own Mets team.
Yeah, basically that's what it was.
You know, or awkward.
Anyway, you're listening to the Howard Stern Show.
Ooh, let me tell you something, Robin.
Well, didn't you meet Ron and Fez? So basically, this is just Ron and Fez.
That's
show
a good
now.
Point. It's a good point. Yeah, it's that really is a bizarre.
What would you do? What if you're in that band? Now you've been in this band. Okay, we've been in
this
band for
a while. What would you do if you were Sid Barrett? Yeah. What would you do?
I know. So we're in a band. We named our band Baby Lemonade after Sid Barrett. The singer from Love asked us to back him up and be Love, which I'm sure they were all big fans of. So obviously we do it. We love it. Well, and
Love. It's funny because it's a word. You just look like you're about to throw up on the microphone.
I'm having coughing fits. But all right, so now while we're the band Love, you know, we even consider ourselves a little legit because not for nothing, the guy that started the band and wrote a lot of the songs is in the front leading the singer. But now he says he's not going to do it anymore. When one crazy guy in the band says, you know what, we should just really keep going. Like, would you do it or would you just feel so stupid that you couldn't do it anymore? Because Baby Lemonade released a couple of albums. Granted, nobody probably knows who they are, but they were probably famous on like maybe an Apples in Stereo level, like one of them bands that have listeners, have been heard of, sold a few records. Mm-hmm. So they're not necessarily some garage band that nobody knows.
From a moral, is it right standpoint?
Oh, no, it's definitely not
would
right.
Would you do it? No, you shouldn't. From a, hey, we could probably make more money as Love than as Baby Lemonade.
But this
standpoint,
is the thing. That's the other thing involved.
You probably really wouldn't make very much money either.
I think if they built in a fan base as Baby Lemonade, the original Love could reform with all members intact. Nobody's going to go see them. Some people will, but they weren't a very big band.
Hold on one second. I'd like you to... I'm going to take a look really quick on the internet. I'm sorry. I keep getting obsessed with turning this computer on, trying to find something out. Remember they had that whole concept of Google fights?
Yes.
I'm going to do a Google fight between Love and Baby Lemonade.
Okay. Is there going to be a problem because they're the same band now? Is there going to...
I think there's going to be a problem with the fact that the word love is... actually has a little bit of a meaning to it, and so I don't even know why.
Maybe if you do Love with Arthur Lee against Baby Lemonade. But that's the thing, like, was it that important to continue on as Love? Because anyone that knows, and that's the other thing, anyone that was going to go see the Love group that were fans of them, like, they're not going to go see Baby Lemonade as Love, featuring Baby Lemonade as Love. It's like a really low-budget Beatlemania. That's what it is.
Okay.
They're a Love tribute band now.
Keyword Love?
Which, by the way, a side note, there's a movie called Tribute, which is honestly very watchable. I was going to say it's brilliant, but I decided against it.
Wow, this is a big fight. The winner is Love by 1,060,000,000 results on Google versus 1,950,000 for Baby Lemonade.
Do it with Love with Arthur Lee. But not the word with, but Love, Arthur, and Lee. And maybe put quotes around Baby Lemonade. So everyone that happens to refer to a baby and lemonade in their website doesn't also come up.
Good point. Sorry, I should talk into the microphone. Let's see. Now, the new fight is on. Love, Arthur Lee. I hope it's spelled Arthur right.
Oh my god, there's actually graphics of people fighting. I can't believe it.
The winner is Love with Arthur Lee. 255,000 results as opposed to 68,000 for Baby Lemonade. Dude, if I was Baby Lemonade, I'd keep the name Love.
Well, you know what? They did. Maybe we should have them on to discuss it.
And that's one to grow on.
And if they come on our show to discuss it, you know that they did need the publicity.
Then that 68,000 is a gross overestimation, if that's the case.
There's probably a product called Baby Lemonade. Now it's Lemonade for Babies.
You know, not for nothing, there definitely is Lemonade for Babies. I'm almost positive of it. Baby Lemonade sounds like it would be such a delicious Snapple flavor.
And the other thing, by the way, Baby Lemonade was a Sid Barrett song.
Yeah.
So
no,
a lot of, you know...
That's why I just threw out Baby Lemonade. Well, that's why I threw out Sid Barrett before when you were talking about dudes.
No, but I'm saying... a lot of that, those results are also Sid Barrett related.
Love could be, you know, my name is Susie and I love Arthur Lee. He's my high school English teacher. It's not like Arthur Lee is a crazy voice.
You should have brought that up beforehand if you loved him. It would have added to the whole story.
The drama. The intrigue. But
now, if Arthur Lee comes back
and starts a new band, could he call them Love? And then it's Love versus Love?
You know what? Arthur Lee's record company that decided to re-sign him as the Love group with Baby Lemonade are the ones that pushed the whole thing. I wish this was a more popular band so I wouldn't feel like I'm boring people talking about it, because I honestly think it's an interesting story.
Hey, it's plenty intriguing.
I think it's my rock story for week one.
Rock. You're big into rock. Your rock story for week one, you had your...
I'm not saying I'm going to have one every week, but that's what I made that sound like. But although, there are plenty of interesting stories from the dark side of rock and roll.
Black mass music, if you will.
Yeah, like the Velvet Underground, exactly. As a matter of fact, the first sentence is not for the kiddies. I should just bring that book in next week.
You definitely should. You have it still, or your father still has it?
My father has it, but I could get it from him.
Steal it. You want? I'll go to his house tonight and I'll mug him and take it instead of you just asking him to borrow it.
It has no cover on it. It just says rock and roll and Magic Mark, because I ripped the cover off when I was too young to be reading rock books. I got excited. There was another band.
Wait a minute. Slow down. There's nothing funnier to me than the idea of rock books were too exciting for you, so you just had to rip the cover off like, I can't even take this. Wow! You know what? Not to make another Ron and Fez reference, but whenever Ron refers to the fact that he read a book that he thought was fall on the floor funny any moment, he takes the book and throws it at the wall. It's just like such a concept. Like, that the book is so much you can't even take it. Like, for you, this rock book was so much you had to rip the cover off. Oh, God, too much rock!
To show you what a nerd I was, my Twilight Zone companion is also torn to pieces. And I'm not kidding.
Well, that goes back to your horror obsession. It was too much horror for you, so you had to rip the cover.
Yeah, so the Velvet Underground were like rock and roll horror, so obviously I was going to love them. I even took their advice at times.
Honestly, you should give a call to Lou Reed right now and tell him to release a new Velvet Underground record and call it rock and roll horror. That would be huge.
She started dancing to that scary, scary music.
The Rock and Roll Horror Picture Show.
One day I'm in Radio Shack. If you know the song, I wish you had the song Rock and Roll ready to go.
By the way, speaking of Radio Shack, I got another whole story for you, but go.
The fact that they're closing their stores?
I had no idea.
They're closing a lot of them, but that's for the business section.
Well, yeah, we'll get to that's the last segment of the show. We do we talk about the market and see what went up, what went down this week, and how you should invest.
If you know the song "Rock and Roll" by the Velvet Underground, or by Lou Reed, if you're listening to a classic rock station, depending on what they call it, there's a it's a song. But one day I'm in Radio Shack. Yeah,
if you're listening to it,
I didn't set that up right. I don't think
you're still listening to it.
I'm in Radio Shack and they have Z100 on, and then the opening music for rock and roll comes on, and the guy's talking over it. And do you know what? I'll hold this up if you have that song, and you could somehow manage to get it on there.
Keep going. I'm not 100% sure if I have it or not.
Okay, I'm 100K. Not 100K Tell, by the way.
100K.
Although I think I did go by that name once.
100K Cent. Let's see. I'm trying to get this going.
I'm gonna let you know exactly what's going on, because I really would like to let you hear. You know what? I don't even have the other version anyway, so it doesn't matter. But I'm listening to the beginning of. You know what? Can I introduce something and save it for next week? Because
yeah, of course, whatever you need to do.
I'm not. Next week I'll have both versions of what I want to talk about, what I heard in Radio Shack. So if you want to get back to what you were gonna say about Radio Shack, or do you need a second?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm really obsessed with trying to find out if that song is here right now.
Do you want to take a break or?
No, I'd rather just leave you flailing alone in the wind, hoping to be able to continue with the show. But me,
because I'm about to quit the show, I think.
Yeah. So, all right, total non sequitur. It's got nothing to do with anything other than my Padre Pio oil that you just picked up and looked at. We'll talk about that some other time.
Okay.
Oh, God, sorry, I'm scratching my ear. I go to Radio Shack yesterday to make sure I have all the cables to make everything work for the show today. And as I go in there, for some reason, okay, I've got a weird problem that I'm obsessed with lying to people. And in my obsession with lying, I should probably preface that a little bit better. I have a thing where I like to lie to strangers. It's kind of a personal obsession of mine. When I was a cab driver, I used to lie about my age to the people that I got in my car. And for some reason, I would like to go along with these odd stories. And this isn't like I'm a compulsive liar in real life. It was just an obsession with this crazy, odd nonsense that I used to do. So I'm in Radio Shack getting the cables to finish setting up our studio here to make sure everything's right. I mean, we had it set up, but I had a couple other things I could have did to fine-tune it. I start talking to this guy about cables. Well, you're not able to find what you're looking for?
Yeah. Is it possible, without going all tech too much, is it possible you could set me up to get into my files on that screen name that I left open?
Yeah, but it would make a lot of noise. Hold on.
Okay, so then don't even bother.
The Velvet Underground, you just click right there, look. And there... It's not... I don't have the song.
Because I don't have the other thing I need to play about it anyway, so it doesn't matter.
It's for next week. But okay. We do have this. So you can have that in the background if you want. Let's see. Sorry, getting a little crazy and playing stuff too loud. This is the background.
I'm waiting for my man.
Just a little something to play in the background. So, you know, little... Dude, do you want to go grab something after the show today? But, so I go into Radio Shack. I'm sorry, you know, I can't have this in the background.
125.
It's a little too distracting to have that in the background. I'm sorry.
Hey, white boy.
So I go to Radio Shack to get the cables for the show, back to what I was saying. And when I go into the place, I start talking to this guy, and for some reason he says, he's like, so what do you need this for? What I was looking for, I was looking for some stereo cables that they didn't have. He's like, well, what do you need it for? I'm just like, oh, it's for my home studio.
If Radio Shack didn't have something, I'm shocked.
It was amazing. He's like, yeah, it's for my home studio. And he's like, oh, your home studio? Oh, what kind of music do you do, really? And like usual, I kick into, hey, it's a stranger. I've got to start compulsively lying mode. So he says, he's like, well, what kind of music do you do? I'm just like, well, I do a lot of, like rock stuff. Meanwhile, the studio is for this radio show. Don't get me wrong. I've done home recording. I'm sure at some point we'll hear some of that. At some point we'll hear some. I mean, like, I've played in bands my whole life, and as has 100K. And, like, we've done recording and stuff. That's not really what this is ideally for. This is for the radio show. Like, we have friends that actually have real recording studios for music stuff, and that's.
I think we both set up the recording so-called studios in our house. I say so-called only because mine is that microphone over there, and
that's a good microphone though.
But we set up these studios in our house, and then afterthought was, wow, we could record music too.
Yeah, you know. So,
but it's for the radio. But go ahead.
So I start telling this guy. He's like, oh, so what kind of music do you do? And like, I guess for the most part, I've done like, I guess what would be considered rock music or alternative music for the most part. So my response to him obviously is, well, I do some rock and I've done some country stuff. You know, I do a little bit of everything. I've even done some you know, a lot of techno stuff too. A lot of techno stuff. I think once, as a joke, about 10 years ago, 100K and I and our friend James did a techno song.
It wasn't a techno song by far.
A techno-ish song.
It was the most techno pre-setting on the Casio keyboard I had over. Exactly. Excuse me, it was a Yamaha, actually. Yeah,
come on, bro. So I say I'm techno. It's like, so you do like techno. Like, what kind of stuff do you do? I am so non-knowledgeable of what techno really is. Like, what is this section of techno? That the only phrase that I could think of that sounds like something that I know is somewhat techno-related was, I responded, oh, like, you know, like some jungle stuff. I don't know. I couldn't identify what jungle techno is. So I said jungle. And his response was, oh, so you do jungle house. So So, you know, you did Jungle House. I was like, yeah, you know, I did some Jungle House stuff.
So he actually threw the phrase Jungle House out.
In response to me saying I did mostly jungle stuff.
What is jungle stuff?
Strangely,
Didn't the Jungle Brothers have a song, Girl, I'll House You?
The techno song that 100K and I did with our friend James was called Jungle Man. And that was the only reason why jungle swept out. And I knew jungle was considered a subsection of techno music. So I tell this guy, I do, you know, jungle. He does jungle stuff.
Do you have Jungle Man on there?
I don't have it. I'll get that for next week. I've got a lot of stuff to get for next week. So I tell him I did this Jungle House. He's like, well, who'd you do stuff with? I mean, like, you had 12 inches out, right? And, dude, I put out a demo tape of a couple of my punk rock bands in the past. So my response, of course, is, yeah, I had a couple 12 inches out. He's like, I collect a lot of old stuff. What label were you on?
I just can't wait. I'm sorry.
Without missing a beat, I'm just like, I'm in compulsive liar mode now. I was on Rugged Edge Records. Rugged Edge Records. No idea where this comes from. And it's like, oh, that's one of those Flyby Nights that was out there. There were a lot of those. He's like, I got a
dude.
And he claims to remember Rugged Edge Records as being one of those fly-by-night labels. I think I got some Rugged Edge stuff. So now he's looking. He's like, what was the name of your track? And, you know, I tell him Twisted World, which was a name of one of the songs.
How old is this guy?
I'm to the point that I'm laughing my ass off and I have to move away from the microphone because it's so ridiculous. Twisted World was the name of one of my band's songs when I was 15 years old. It was just a band song that we did. I actually could play that for you right now, too. It's really techno. Hold on. I'm going to put on some...
Wait, but how old was this guy?
He was got to be in his late 30s. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I thought this was like a kid, like a 17-year-old or something.
No, dude. Come on, bro. Don't mess around.
So this dude in his late 30s is lying to you about owning some Rugged Edge?
Yeah, he knew about Rugged Edge. By the way, this is the real song, Twisted World, 15 years old. This is my techno song. My Jungle House techno song. Yeah, that's actually pretty fly. You want to, where am I recording studio here? Do you want to record something with that? His response is he knows about Rugged Edge, and I've mentioned the name Frankie Bones, because I know that Frankie Bones was like some techno DJ, and he actually used to book shows for bands, too, in Brooklyn.
And his brother Adam X owned a techno store in Bensonhurst, on Bay Ridge.
I didn't know that much. Whatever, I actually wound up playing a show at one of Frankie Bones' shows like a bunch of years back. Whatever, so we get into this whole crazy conversation. This guy's like, so you got to come back and bring me one of your 12-inch. I'm like, yeah, I'll definitely come back. And thankfully, you tell me now that Radio Shack is going to close. I'm excited that I don't have to see this guy ever again in my life.
Well, I don't know if that Radio Shack's closing, but they're closing a bunch of stores. Maybe he'll get transferred, though.
Either way, I can never go shop at any Radio Shack ever again because I don't want to have to face the Rugged Edge Records guy.
See, I think you should put this on a 12-inch somehow and give it to him.
What do you mean? I'm going to start pressing vinyl in my house? How am I putting it on a 12-inch?
You didn't buy the vinyl presser when you were there?
Yeah, that's what I was there for. You know, ironically, this is not the first time in my life that I've been involved in a scam about a fake musical thing and tried to convince people that there was something to it. We'll get into that at another time because it's getting a little late in the show. We could probably go for a good hour on the legend of Gator Wall, but that's another story for another. Yeah, by the way, that was a Sexual Dysfunction. It's my band when I was 14 years old, 15 years old. Good stuff. Twisted World, Rugged Edge Records, except not Rugged Edge. But yeah, that was my
keep
radio.
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
I'm blown away right now. Oh man. But what else do I have to say? I just want to look through my notes here really quick. Yeah, retirement, compulsive liar, return to the intro. Those are my big notes for the day, things I want to discuss.
You know, I was going to say that... Oh, I'm sorry.
What were you going to say?
Casey Kasem, I was going to say, he must have been ready to go insane at the fact that he had to count down the 40 songs every week and that a good portion of them were the same songs over and over. Then I remembered that legendary meltdown he had on the air.
Goddamn death dedication! I wish we had that too. See, this is as the show goes on, as we start building up our library, we'll have our sound effects and music ready, which, I mean, I don't know if we'll ever really play that stuff ever again. I just like the idea of being able to have it. But, yeah, a goddamn death dedication.
Yeah, Casey flies off the handle because they have him do a dedication for a dead dog right after an upbeat song, and he's not comfortable about the whole thing.
I tend to think that if you're listening to internet radio, you probably have heard this like a million times. I guess if you're a human being, you've probably heard it on Howard Stern a million times that he's played it. By the way, for the record, I'm gonna be shock jockey now. As our first episode of Best in Show draws to a close, I hate the new Howard Stern show. I think it's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
I heard the first episode you sent me. The Revelations part...
Couldn't make it through it. Couldn't make it through the first show.
I thought it was okay, but maybe I was being generous because it was the first show.
The whole show is...
But I haven't really listened to Howard in a while anyway. The last 2 weeks I did, and he was pretty funny again, but, you know...
The whole first show, all it was about was, hey, we're on this new station. It's going to be great. Dude, it's going to be great. Now we can do anything we want. It's great. Yo, this is so great. We can do whatever we want.
Mm-hmm.
Is what you wanted to do to talk for 4 hours about how you could do what you want to do? Like, do it then. And you know what?
And the stuff they were playing I thought was lame, too. The stuff we could finally play.
What, someone said the F word?
Yeah, it's just, you know.
Robin. Yeah, I can't stand him. Don't get me wrong. I grew up listening to Stern. I loved him for the longest time. I'm not one of these people that thinks that's like, oh, I'm, you know, Opie and Anthony are so much better than Howard or this, that. I don't subscribe to the whole radio war thing because I like this one. I can't like the other one. I like Opie and Anthony. I liked Howard Stern at times in my life. Even Opie and Anthony I've liked at times in my life. I don't love them. The only radio show I really love is the Ron and Fez show. And obviously Mike and the Mad Dog. But that's another story for another day.
It drew a 2-6.
Let me tell you something again. You're wrong. It's 2-4.
But it's Howard has not been as good as he's been in a long time. And I don't want to like do the same shtick that everyone else does and talks about how we're better than Howard and all this, because that's not my intention at all. I'm just disappointed.
Well, I'm sure on his worst day he will never be better than him.
Well, that's all the more why that isn't my intention of what I'm saying. I was expecting a lot more from him. I thought it was going to be good. And strangely, the person I was expecting the most from when he came to radio, when he came to Sirius, is Artie. I think that Artie was the funniest.
Talk about using the F word as a crutch.
Horrible, man. Horrible. And I think
calm down, Artie. You have a 5-year contract. You don't have to use them all up in one show.
You know, again, like I don't know what...
Which, admittedly, he said.
Yeah.
I'm dropping the F-bomb, like, whatever he said, but...
Yeah, it's just crazy. I'm not the hugest fan of the show. I was a little disappointed. I was expecting more from him, and
I'm sure as it goes on, and like I said, I've heard the first one you sent me, and I didn't listen all the way through. They had this whole Revelations thing. You know what? Discussing his show in detail is probably pointless, but it made me want to hear a future episode, but I haven't heard anything else. You even sent me that one, and I still haven't listened to it.
I couldn't make it through the first episode. I'm really disappointed.
I'm
really
sure as they go on, it'll get better, and
get
if not, you know what?
We had 20 great years of him. He doesn't need to be great anymore.
Yeah, whatever. I barely ever listen. And you've sent me... I'll say right off the bat, Chris loves Ron and Fez. I think they're funny, and the shows you've sent me, I think are funny. But I never listen to them. Never do.
I have an MP3
Not
player.
Because I say I don't want to hear those guys. It's just that I never reach for Ron and Fez and say, let me. It just hasn't grabbed me yet. I'm sure if I kept listening, it would.
I have an MP3 player with 2,000 songs on it right now. 40 of them are Ron and Fez shows, and that's all I really listen to.
I would think from all the talk radio that's not sports related, general talk radio that's not sports or politics... They're probably, you know, if you told me they're easily the best thing on right now, I wouldn't be surprised.
And they are. They are. Other than Best in Show.
Unless obviously. Mark and Brian are somewhere. I don't know.
They're the greatest. But speaking of radio shows that talk about sports and politics and whatever, that's us. We're Best in Show. Thanks for checking out our first episode, if you made it through. If not, I'm talking to myself. So
if they didn't make it through, you're as good as Howard Stern.
Excellent, excellent. But we'll be back next week. Check us out. Hit our website up. I'm going to update and get a lot more stuff on there, bestinshowradio.com. We'll hopefully be making an announcement soon of what our intention is as far as where we're going, what we're doing with this. For now, we're on Megaforce Radio, and we'll see what, if any, network and scheduling we'll go to from here. Look forward to a lot of fun next week. And I don't know. Thanks to you, 100K.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks to me as well.
Excellent. We're best in show. We'll check you out next week.